This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Futuro.
Hola, Latino USA listener. It's Maria Hinojosa. Today we want to share with you a new podcast from our colleagues at Witness Docs at Stitcher. It's called Ruby Rosa. What would you do if I told you that James Bond, yes, James Bond, the white British character, was actually based on a real Dominican man. Hosted by Dominican-American author Christopher Rivas, Ruby Rosa is a 10-part series about the fantastic true story of Porfirio Ruby Rosa and what Christopher's years-long investigation taught him as he also found his true self in a world not made for brown folks just like him. After its finale, the podcast will turn into a weekly show hosted by Chris called Brown Enough, which is also the title of his forthcoming memoir out in October. So give the podcast's first episode a listen and don't forget to subscribe to Ruby Rosa. That's Ruby Rosa, R-U-B-I-R-O-S-A. No te vayas.
Witness Docs from Stitcher.
Good.
How far is your building from
here? Oh, it's right there.
Oh, right here.
This is it. Everything's exactly the same. The colors are the same.
Was this your school?
This is PS-175. This is my elementary school, and then Halsey, my junior high, is across the street the other way. I was still late to school. That is where my dad worked. That's the basement. This is where my dad would sit for lunch.
I grew up in Queens, New York at 102 17 64th Road. My Dominican father was the building super. I lived here until I was 18, and I'm back now for this podcast with my producers, Abigail and John.
All right, so you want to go in that basement?
Why not? Let's just show you the shop. This is my dad's workspace.
Wow. I loved the boiler room as a kid. Like, I would watch the fire as a little boy. Like, I loved just watching the fire do its thing.
We take the elevator up to the first floor, and everywhere I look, I feel memories. Falling down the staircase and cracking my head open. Getting in trouble with my friends for running an underground poker ring during school hours. Salsa dancing in the lobby. Being here is like stepping back into my childhood.
That is where my godfather lived. We had the Mamans on the right side.
Oh, so where was your first apartment?
Oh, right here.
Okay.
All right, y'all, here's where the journey really begins.
So this door right here is apartment 1J. 1J was just like very tiny one bedroom that four of us shared.
I'm whispering because someone else lives here now, and I am being very creepy recording outside of his door, recalling this vivid memory from when I was 8 years old. My mom was recovering from a back surgery, and I was running around the house pretending to be an assassin. Totally normal.
Now imagine this. This is like tiny ass apartment. My mom is laid up on her stomach and I'm in my best set of tidy whities, most definitely Hanes. I have every Nerf gun I have wrapped around my waist using my dad's belts. And I pop my head around the corner and I do this like fully executed tumble and I land in a fighting stance and I fire a Nerf bullet into the distance, boom, whispering into my invisible watch, I'll be in and out in 6 flat. That's when my mom calls, coño, muchacho, I swear to God, if your food gets cold, if I have to tell you one more time, I will break all your toys, everything. I will break everything.
Yeah, I know. Wanting to be an assassin is a very weird goal for an 8-year-old. But that was my chosen profession. And I would play like that for hours. I was the king of make-believe, y'all. The king of being more than what I was.
Whisper again into my invisible watch and I say, my bad, Bond is going to have to meet you at the drop-off point after dinner.
And who I pretended to be above all else was the baddest person I knew. James Bond.
The name's Bond. James Bond.
Some men just don't like to be driven.
No, some men just don't like to be taken for a ride.
It doesn't bother you, killing those people.
Well, I wouldn't be very good at my job if it did.
I mean, come on. Who wouldn't want to be James Bond? He's chill, he's tough, everyone likes him. He does important work saving the world and whatnot. And yo, he gets mad honeys, all while rocking this ridiculous bespoke black tux.
And so I thought, maybe this awkward Dominican kid from Queens could actually become him in one way or another. Bond. Jaime Bond. Ali Bond. Bondissimo.
For the record, my name is not Bond. It's Rivas. Christopher Rivas. And I'm not an assassin. But then again, would I really tell you if I was? Think about it. I am the next best thing, though. An actor. And a writer. And a yada yada multi-hyphenate creative. You get the idea. I live in LA now. Pretty dang far from 102 17 64th Road in Queens. But being back in my old apartment building, I remember so fiercely my childhood dream of being Bond, and how far away that dream felt for a half Dominican, half Colombian kid like me. I was only 8, but I didn't like how I looked. I didn't like how I talked. I was this 4'10" prepubescent Dominican kid with glasses, a big nose, and a curly ass fro. I wasn't just pretending to be someone adventurous and tough. I was pretending to be white. What's up, man?
How you doing?
Hey. Long time. How's the fam?
Good. We're all good. How about you?
So I'm great. This is my buddy, Peter Parshall Jensen. We went to acting school together at CalArts. We haven't caught up in more years than I like to admit. Time gets away from us sometimes. But Peter's kind of responsible for changing my life. Do you remember in college, long, long time ago, sending me that Vanity Fair article?
I saw that article and I was like, oh yeah, this guy reminds me a whole lot of Reba.
Okay, so it's 2009 and Peter emails me a link to this article. I'm almost positive the subject line read, "Yo, Rivas, check this out." I open it up and boom. That's when it happens. Life altered. The title of the article is The Legend of Ruby Rosa. It's a Vanity Fair profile on a guy named Porfirio Ruby Rosa, a Dominican man. Everyone calls him Ruby for short. Oof, that sounds good, doesn't it? Ruby. The article starts with an excerpt of his obituary in the New York Times, published after his death in Paris in 1965. It reads, Porfirio Ruby Rosa, former Dominican diplomat, international sportsman, and playboy, died in an automobile accident. He was alone in the car. The wooden steering wheel of the type used in racing competition had crushed his chest. He died within sight of two of his favorite recreation spots, the Longchamps Racecourse and the Bagatelle Polo Club. This article was like a key to a door that I didn't even know existed. You sent it and my life was changed. You know, like you have single-handedly changed my life.
Oh, that's good.
I sat in front of my laptop soaking up everything I could about this long dead Dominican guy. The Vanity Fair profile describes the life of an internationally known figure. He spent the 1920s in Paris, the 1950s in Cuba. He's the Latin lover.
He was married 5 times to some of the richest and most famous women in the world. He was also rumored to have had love affairs with women like Eartha Kitt, Ava Gardner, Jane Mansfield, and Eva Perón. And that's just the start of the list. The tabloids loved to talk about Ruby. A bunch of it was actually pretty racist. Like one article that asked, is the world's greatest lover a Negro? And there were also a lot of references to homeboy's 11-inch, you know, his 11-inch, you know. One of his wives, the billionaire tobacco heiress Doris Duke, once told someone that Ruby's member was, and I quote, like the last foot of a Louisville slugger bat. Yeah, intense. Ruby Rosa was suave, sophisticated, stylish, dangerous, and as cool as they come. The Vanity Fair article said, when he was around, an unlit cigarette never touched a woman's lips. After I finished that article, I read it again. And then I read it again, and then again. And then I started Googling, and I found more articles written about him that helped round out the life he lived. I found a book, a couple of books, actually. It turns out that Porfirio Ruby Rosa was way more than just a playboy. He was a diplomat for the Dominican Republic, stationed all over the world. And he worked for General Rafael Trujillo. Trujillo was one of the bloodiest dictators in Latin American history, which we'll definitely come back to. Anyway, weeks went by, but I kept digging around for stuff about Ruby, and then one day, I came across something online that made the hair on the back of my neck start to tingle. Ruby Rosa, the article claimed, was the real James Bond. I'm sorry, what? Dominican, Ruby Rosa, Dominican. This guy, the real James Bond, is a Dominican man. Bullshit. Why didn't I know this? Why didn't my pops or anyone tell me this? Why didn't I know about Ruby? If the Vanity Fair article was like a key to a door, then this new revelation knocked down the whole damn house. I spent the next 10 years of my life thinking about and researching Ruby and his connection to Bond. I found myself telling this man's story to as many people as I could. I wrote a play about him. I got up on stages across the country trying to tell people why they too should care. And as I learned more about the story of Porfirio Ruby Rosa, I started to realize that I was also learning more about my own story. I started digging into my own Dominican roots and culture. I learned things I never knew, never wanted to know. I stopped cutting my curly hair. I even publicly declared in the New York Times, nonetheless, that I was going to stop dating white women. I started writing a book. It's been a long, intense, soul-searching journey. Which brings me here with you to this podcast. I'm Christopher Rivas, and this is Ruby Rosa, Episode 1, Haunted. Someone named Porfirio Ruby Rosa?
No, I haven't.
Porfirio Ruby Rosa.
Okay.
Have you heard of him?
Never heard of him.
Turns out, I'm not the only one who didn't know about Ruby Rosa. Though I do know how to pronounce his name. I hit the streets to ask some people about him. First stop, my backyard, Hollywood.
What if I told you that James Bond is actually based on a Dominican man named Porfirio Ruby Rosa?
It's not true. There's a lot of mythology about James Bond is really this and James Bond is really that.
They say James Bond. They ain't never say Porfirio.
Would you believe that that British white guy could be based on a Dominican man?
Absolutely. I think a lot of times Hollywood tries to make the hero Anglo.
Next up, I went to a Dominican spot, a coffee shop in Brooklyn called Jenny's Number 2. I could understand if most people hadn't heard of Ruby Rosa, but I mean, surely my brothers and sisters from the DR knew who he was, right? ¿Sabe quién es Porfirio Ruby Rosa?
No.
No?
Yeah.
Porfirio Ruby Rosa. No? I even went to this Italian joint in New York called Ristorante Ruby Rosa. It was literally named after Porfirio. They even have a couple of pictures of him up on the walls.
they gotta know who he is.
Do you know why this restaurant is named Ruby Rosa?
I don't.
Does anyone know?
Yeah.
A waiter named Julio had a little bit of an idea.
Ruby Rosa was a restaurant the founder used to love going to in Italy. He finds out about the person, Ruby Rosa. Bunch of girls, bunch of parties, fast cars. Maybe there's something there.
These people don't really have a clue about who Ruby is. I get it. I was them. But now, 10 years after learning about Ruby in my CalArts dorm room, I'm firmly on the other side. And one thing is clear. Once you've learned about who this guy is, he leaves an impression on you.
Who doesn't know who Porfirio Ruby Rosa is?
They don't make him like that anymore.
You know, Ruby Rosa ran with the same circles as Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr., Dean Martin, Kennedy's.
He was very cool. And the people at that time were not cool.
He was a diplomat for Trujillo. He was attacked by Castro. There was a grenade thrown in his embassy.
He was worthless except to the wealthy ladies who married him.
Now, Ruby didn't treat me bad. Ruby treated me beautifully.
But he used to beat you around.
Well, a little bit, but I deserved it.
He was already being called Playboy before the magazine Playboy came out.
People were always trying to just, you know, be with him and get with him and chase him and find out what he's got and how do I get that.
Even after all these years of obsession, research, and exploration, I still have work to do. I still have these big unknowns. I'm haunted. That's what I tell people. I'm haunted. Not in a creepy way, but in a I have a mission way. That's what this podcast is. That's what we're doing here. My mission is to find some answers about Ruby's life and about my own. You said everyone falls in love with Ruby. Why?
Well, he's a walking party. He's a typical Dominican guy.
This is Isabella Wall. For what it's worth, Isabella is also a walking party. She showed up to our Zoom convo with warmth and energy that kept us chatting for an easy 2 hours. She knows a lot about Ruby Rosa. A lot.
You know, he's the life of the party. In the jet setting, life is good because, you know, he makes it look good. He makes it look good and he makes it feel good. And, you know, it's the Dominican Republic and it's paradise. And he's got the keys to paradise.
Isabella and her husband wrote a book about Ruby, kind of the first book about him, in English at least. Isabella has been out here trying to tell Ruby Rosa's story to the world for decades. Her book, Chasing Ruby, is some of the first stuff I found after the Vanity Fair article. And honestly, it feels so good to finally be talking to a fellow Ruby obsessive.
What do you want to do, Ruby? This is a question that I've been asking myself for 30 years.
I ask a similar question. I often talk about being like, I use the word haunted, but not in a scary movie kind of way. More in a... like, I was visited and I'm supposed to do something with this story, but I don't know what it is. So you feel like you've had the same experience?
Absolutely.
Isabella is Dominican, like me, but she actually grew up on the island.
What are some of your favorite memories from growing up there?
Oh, my goodness. Going to the beach. Mm-hmm. I mean... just, I choke up even. Growing up and getting in that warm water in Boca Chica and Juan Dolio. When we were little, my dad used to take us almost every weekend on, you know, day trips and to different parts of the island. And we got to grow up, you know, just watching the people in the country and riding burros and eating caña de azúcar and mangoes and all of that.
Damn, sounds nice, doesn't it? Isabella wasn't surprised that people here in the U.S. don't know who Ruby is. But back in the DR, Rubirosa is a known entity.
Did you hear about Ruby growing up, or when was the first time you heard about him?
So when I was growing up, because I was a daddy's little girl, and my dad was a neighbor of Rubirosa in San Francisco de Macorís, where they were growing up, and Ruby...
A neighbor, wow.
Yeah, and so in those days, the teenage boys used to go hang out at a certain park, and they all gathered there to smoke cigarettes, you know, and drink and stuff like that, and Ruby was young, too young to be hanging out with them. So my dad tells the story that... he had to get him a cigarette because nobody would give him a cigarette. And that was something that I used to hear my dad say regarding just men in general. You know, I mean, he would say things like, ah, no, ese se cree que es un rubirosa.
Se cree que es un rubirosa. He thinks he's a rubirosa.
This is something you'd say about a guy who was showing off. It's like Ruby was something young men wanted to be.
Growing up, these stories about Rubirosa, they didn't mean much to Isabella. They were just a part of the local folklore. Eventually, she left the island. She left her home and moved to the U.S. That's where she met her husband, Marty.
Hey, Chris.
Marty.
How are you, my new friend?
Back in the 1980s, Marty worked for a big radio station in New York, Z100. Y'all, Z100 and Hot 97 were my two go-tos. Anyway, he actually hired Isabella to be in a commercial for the station for Latin audiences. They worked together, they fell in love. You know how the story goes. And one day, Isabella brought up this guy Ruby, this guy her dad had grown up around.
So Isabella was telling me about this character.
I would say, well, Marty, you know, he was a polo champion, and you know, he was a car racer for Ferrari and this and that. And he's like, no way. Nobody's ever heard about Dominican doing that. Why don't I know about it? You know, and my parents are from the 50s. I don't know.
I was really hip to all of the 40s and 50s movies and the Zsa Zsa Gabors of the world. I mean, how could I not have heard of this person? And kind of challenged her.
Marty likes to challenge me, right? And I like a challenge. He said, well, you know what you should do? You should go, you know, see what you find about it. If it's true, you find stuff at the library, at the New York Library.
And she went and spent an entire day at the New York Public Library doing research. And she came home with a copy of his obituary from the New York Times, which was a full page.
Ah, the obituary. This is the same one they quoted in the Vanity Fair article. And I gotta tell y'all, not everyone gets a full page obituary in the New York Times. That's a big deal. Like, these are the movers and shakers of their day. People like Clark Gable, Walt Disney, and Nat King Cole all got full page obituaries too. But we know those names. So how did Ruby get this kind of spread? The obituary says, Ruby grew up in a modest home. The son of a Dominican general, he spent his childhood in Paris, and then married the daughter of Trujillo, the DR's dictator. But the subheadings, they say things like suave diplomat and member of the jet set, because those are the things that came to define Ruby. He died as he lived, the author writes, moving fast. The obituary even quotes Ruby. The ambition of most men is to save money. Mine is to spend it. Marty Wall was impressed.
And just immediately knew that this was a story that needed to be told in some media.
At this point, Isabella and Marty set off on a quest to find out as much as they can about Ruby. They start acquiring old photographs. They take a trip to Paris, where Ruby spent a lot of time and where he died. And they call up people who are still alive, who might remember their days with Rubirosa. Marty and Isabella also move from New York to Los Angeles, and since they're living right next to Hollywood, Isabella's dad convinces them that Ruby's ultra-glamorous life would make a pretty dope feature film.
No, you gotta, tiene que llevarte los libros. You gotta, you know, do all the research and be prepared, because you're gonna make a movie about that.
There is a famous producer named Stuart Benjamin, who we had an opportunity to meet with. He produced La Bamba and a couple other films. And when we met with him, he gave us some really, really good advice. He says, you're not going to get anywhere with this project unless you have a book, that someone is willing to option the rights, or you've written your own script. I didn't feel comfortable, nor did Isabella, about writing a script. And since there were no books in English, what we decided to do was write the first English language biography, which was published in 2005.
Marty and Isabella's book. It brings to life so many things that the Vanity Fair article only touched on. They talk about Ruby's parents and his childhood, his early career in the military, his decades as a jet-setting playboy and international diplomat, his connections with important people and places throughout history, and the many speculations about him being a spy. Their book is called Chasing Ruby, The Truth About Porfirio Rubirosa, The Last Playboy.
Can you tell me about the title?
That's what I've been doing for 25 years, is chasing Rubirosa and trying to find out who he really was.
Look at this conversation that we're having. You know, this is about that still.
The other thing we realized is, you know, there were a lot of people chasing Rubirosa for his fame, to be part of his entourage. But when you read the FBI file, you realize that our government was chasing Rubirosa.
Yeah. Hear that? Abigail, play that back real quick.
But when you read the FBI file, you realize that our government was chasing Rubirosa.
FBI files. Turns out, Ruby was someone the U.S. government kept a very close eye on.
I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty James Bond to me. Was this the kind of guy who had more behind-the-scenes influence in world events than we could have even known?
I knew of the Freedom of Information Act, so we've sent applications into the FBI and to the CIA.
And then one year I get these two boxes that said, you know, with the seal of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And I couldn't even open it until Marty came home. I was like, what is that? I can't remember. Is this the IRS? What's going on? Oh my God. So then we opened it and it was incredible. It was like, you know, all these pages about this guy. There he is.
Porfirio Rubirosa, who has served as Dominican ambassador to various European countries and who occupied the position of ambassador to France, is an agent of the Dominican Military Intelligence Service.
It's unclear just how big Ruby's government files actually are, but we got a glimpse from about 100 pages the FBI released to us. This excerpt implies Ruby was a part of the Dominican CIA.
It became clear to us that this was just, you know, not a well-endowed playboy, that this was somebody that had amazing negotiating and diplomatic skills and had connections at the highest level with presidents and kings. And when you realize that people like the New York District Attorney and the FBI coming after him for deaths and assassinations, you know, my interest in telling a story or researching further became even more.
The source has learned that Rubirosa performs important missions abroad and that his specialty is to influence people in influential positions in foreign governments in a manner favorable to the Trujillo regime.
These FBI records point to mysteries on a grand scale. God, who was this man really? A spy? A supporter of a dictator? They bring to life a Ruby who is much darker and much more complicated than that suave gentleman I met in a Vanity Fair article. A Ruby, a lot like James Bond. And then there's this. I want to read you one more line from Rubirosa's obituary. Quote, when he lost his diplomatic immunity, the district attorney's office in Manhattan called him in for questioning in regard to the fate of two outspoken opponents of the Trujillo regime. He was also questioned about the disappearance in 1956 of Dr. Jesus de Galindez, a Columbia University lecturer. He disclaimed knowledge of either case. So, maybe this Latin ladies man was also a killer?
Marty says that all this complication, it just makes him more interested in who Ruby really was.
Big dick, race car, cheated women, all this kind of stuff. Those are all truths and all facts. But don't judge somebody solely on what you know about him until you've done your homework.
Marty has done his homework. And even with the FBI docs and murder allegations, he sees a man worth studying. A man maybe even worth redeeming.
I'm hoping that if I was speaking to Ruby right now, I would see that he had the ability to be compassionate. He didn't show that he didn't. He just was narcissistic and in it for himself. It didn't mean that he was always picking up the tab. He was always supporting friends. So I think for me that I think he was a better man than history is showing.
In a time when most Latin men were perceived as either dictators, drug smugglers, or Ricky Ricardo, here comes this everything man, Ruby Rosa, a brown-skinned Dominican man who navigated the waters of all social cultures and places, and who had a first-row seat to some of the most important moments of history. Damn, Ruby, who the hell are you? Really? In this long and winding journey, sometimes it feels like Ruby's life story is an invitation to me. Hey, Chris, here's a slice of the good life. You could have it too. But at other times, it feels more like a warning. About ego.
Well, my first impressions of you was like, hey, qué guapo. Like, what a, you know, he's like a, like, not just being handsome, but like the ladies fawned over you.
A warning about love.
You sounded just like a confused man.
There was just a little bit of a darker part of you. Like, I felt like you withheld a lot of emotion.
Do you think that's still true of me?
I do.
A warning about identity. How come I never learned Spanish?
You didn't find an interest in Spanish.
Oftentimes, people do not want to challenge their own reality.
I still find myself asking Ruby, what can and should I learn from you? What do you have to teach me about moving in a world that isn't made for brown men like us? What I accept, what I fight for, what I ignore, what I desire. Most importantly, are you an invitation or a warning? Ruby, I'm listening. I'm ready. Stay tuned, y'all. There's a lot more to learn, and next time, we'll meet Ruby. Yeah, buddy. All right, y'all, I need to take a moment here at the end of our first episode. A week before we released this podcast, we at Ruby Rosa got some really sad news. Isabella Walt, who you heard earlier and who you will hear from a lot throughout this series, died suddenly. Isabella's voice, her knowledge of Ruby's life, her book Chasing Ruby, her joyful energy are a huge, important part of this series. Our thoughts are with her husband Marty and their family. Isabella, thank you so much. We are dedicating this show to you. Thank you. Ruby Rosa is a production of Witness Docs from Stitcher. It's created by me, Christopher Rivas, and I'm also an executive producer. That's right, Ma, I did that. Abigail Keel is our senior producer. Kevin Tidmarsh is our producer. Our story editor is John Delore. Our technical director is Casey Holford. Camille Stanley is the executive producer of Witness Docs. Readings of Ruby's memoir are performed by Victor Almanzar. Workhouse Media Inc. is also a contributing producer to this podcast, as are executive producers Amelia Baker, Mackenzie Monroe, and Ari Anderson. Thanks, y'all. Original music for this podcast is composed and performed by Wilson Torres, Yeison Villamar, and Marcos Varela. Our theme song is composed by Allison Layton Brown. We want to hear from you. Send your questions, thoughts, and stories to rubirosa@stitcher.com. And if you're enjoying this podcast, Tell a friend about it. Subscribe. Shout it from the rooftops. Write a review. Do all that stuff to help get the word out. We really appreciate it. Peace, y'all.
From PRX.